Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Over the past few weeks, we've been given the opportunity to read from John's Gospel. Now, these stories all point to one thing, and that is the identity of Jesus Christ. Remember last week, we had the great story of the Samaritan woman at the well, and we learned how she aligned her will according to the will of Jesus Christ. Now, notice how the Gospel for this week starts. It says, "As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. The disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" Now, this may seem a strange question to ask, but it's important for us to understand. In the ancient world, people truly believed that illness or even economic hardships, suffering, whatever the case may be, was due to sinfulness, that somehow you did something that offended God, and now God was getting back at you. It was God's retribution. Great example of this is the story of Job. Halfway through the story, Job cries out to God and says, "You know, why am I suffering? I don't understand why I'm suffering so much. I am a righteous man, a faithful man." See, that is the mentality of the ancient world. You know, take, for example, our own day and age. Your high blood pressure, your high cholesterol, your diabetes, your arthritis is your own fault. You did something to offend God, and now God is getting back at you through these illnesses. See, that's the mentality or the thinking of the people in the ancient world. See, now we begin to understand why the apostles asked this question. More to it, take it to a spiritual level. What does sin really do? It weakens our will, and it clouds our mind, such that we cannot see the truth. We cannot see the presence of God in this world, and therefore we are spiritually lost. You see this up and down sacred scripture. Great example, Bartimaeus in the Gospel of Mark. Here, blind Bartimaeus is sitting and begging at the walls of Jericho. Jericho, we know, is notorious as a sinful city and has been for centuries. Here, blind Bartimaeus sitting at the walls of the sinful city of Jericho, begging. See, now you begin to see how sin and illness is closely associated with each other. Well, as the story begins, we have this man born blind. What's the implication? Well, we all can identify with him. Through original sin, we have all been born blind. St. John Chrysostom once said, "To be holy is to see the world through the eyes of God." And so, how does God see the world? God sees the world such that all things, all created things, including us, are rooted in God. Great example is the saints. They saw this vision correctly. They lived their lives according to this vision. They saw everything in creation, including themselves, rooted in God. And yet, what does sin do? It clouds this perspective. It clouds that vision. Worse yet, it uproots us, such that now, because of sin, we see everything rooted in ourselves rather than God. And see, that's true spiritual blindness. Now, what does Jesus say to the man? It says, he said to the man, "I am the light of the world." Now that's interesting. In John's Gospel, we always have these I am statements from Jesus Christ. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the vine and you are the branches. By Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world," the implication here is that if we truly want to draw closer to the Lord, We have to be able to see correctly. We have to be rooted in God. That should be our vision, such that our will should be aligned with the will of God. Again, go back to the story last week of the Samaritan woman at the well. The very end of the story, she aligned her will with the will of God. And then what did she do? She went back into the village and evangelized. She saw that Jesus Christ truly was the Messiah, the Son of God, and then she boldly proclaimed it to all the people in the village. St. Paul is another example of that. In Corinthians, he writes, "It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me." Paul saw that perspective. He saw the world through the eyes of God, that everything is rooted in God and God alone. More to it, Paul saw that Jesus Christ was the light of his life and was constantly walking into that light. So must we. Now the story continues. It says, "When Jesus had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes." St. Augustine, when meditating upon this gospel passage, said, "The spit represents the divinity of Christ, Jesus's divine power. The earth, the clay, represents Jesus's humanity. Jesus Christ himself is the salve that heals our eyes that are sickened by our own sinfulness. And in doing so, now we are able to see." Jesus Christ and his presence among us in our life allows us to see the world through the perspective of God's eyes. More to it, Jesus forms this salve out of clay, and it has a creative power. It is able to make this man see. Where else in sacred scripture do we see God forming clay, and in doing so, we see his creative power giving life? Well, in Genesis chapter 2, it says, "God formed man out of clay, and he breathed it into his nostrils, and in doing so, man came alive." The Hebrew word for clay is Adama. And see, that's where we get the name for Adam. God is truly our creator. He creates all things out of nothing. And see, here in this gospel story, Jesus finishes the work of creation by giving sight to this man. What we have to understand is when the Lord Jesus Christ looks into our life, he sees the effects of sin and how it has left us spiritually blinded. And only through Jesus and his creative power can our sight be restored. Now, there's many titles that people give Jesus throughout the centuries. One is soterior. In Greek, it means healer. Translate that to Latin, and it means salvator, which is bearer of health. Well, if you translate that now to English, it means salve. Jesus Christ truly is the salve that heals our sick, sinned eyes. The story continues. "Jesus said to the man, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam.'" Now, this is very interesting. Again, when you study John's gospel, we have to understand that this gospel is rich in symbolism. In fact, I will always say, no detail should ever be left unattended, including this one. Jesus says to the man, "Go wash in this pool of Siloam." Why? Because it symbolizes our baptism. We are all baptized in Jesus Christ. We are all washed in the waters of Christ. St. Paul once said, "After our baptism, we begin to participate in the life of Christ." See, that's why I will always say, baptism is the second greatest event in our life. The first is when we come face to face with a beatific vision, when we come face to face with God in heaven. How do we learn to see spiritually? How do we see through the eyes of God? Through the church. Paul says in Galatians that at the time of our baptism, we are grafted on to the body of Christ, which is the church. And therefore, only in the church, through the teachings of the church, through doctrines and dogma, are we able to clearly see that everything, all of creation, including ourselves, is rooted in God. And so, This man does just that, and now he is able to see. Well, it appears that the story has ended. On the contrary, now the story only heats up. If you study any of the four Gospels, you see that whenever Jesus heals somebody, their reaction is really diverse. Some people are amazed and grateful, but most are angry, upset, resentful, and shocked. And see, that's exactly what's happening now with the Pharisees. The Pharisees try, within their power, to undermine the miracle that Jesus just performed. The first way is they say that this is not the same man. They say, you know, it's a different man. The blind man is still out there. You know, this is a different person. Well, the blind man says what? Nope, it's me. I was once blind, and yet I'm cured by Jesus. The second is they try a legal trick. They say, well, you know, Jesus cured on the Sabbath. Therefore, he's not a disciple of Moses. He doesn't follow the law, and therefore, he is not doing this in the name of God. Instead, he's working with the dark powers. Again, what does the blind man say in response to this? He says, you know, I was once blind. Jesus restored my sight, and only God has the power to do such thing. And therefore, Jesus must be God. And what happens? The Pharisees are so upset with this man, and they throw him out of the synagogue. And so it begs the question, why? Why are the Pharisees so upset and resentful at Jesus performing this miracle? I think a good clue can be found at the very beginning of the gospel. Remember, the apostles ask Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The Pharisees are looking to blame someone. More to it, they want to throw this man out of the synagogues. But what does Jesus do? First, he brings sight to this man. Then, at the very end of the story, he welcomes this man as a disciple. He welcomes him back into community. And now this man is fully alive in God. And so it begs the question, who truly is blind in this story? Well, it's the Pharisees. They're blind. They fail to see that all of creation is rooted in God. They deny the miracle of Jesus Christ. They deny Jesus' identity as the Son of God. And worse yet, they throw this man out of their own community. And yet, what does Jesus do? He gives sight to this blind man, and then he welcomes him into the community, and this man now becomes fully alive in God. Well, Christ does the same thing with us, especially now during the season of Lent. Now is the time for Jesus to take a long look in us, see the effects that sin has caused in us, and then restore our sight, so that we see that everything in all of creation, including ourselves, is rooted in God. And then in doing so, be restored back into the community, the Trinitarian community of love that exists between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's where we are to remain. And that's where we are always welcomed, just like this blind man. And in doing so, we will always be fully alive in Christ. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.